Our last year before Rosh Hashanah and the days that are coming upon us in terms of me teaching due to my travels. And therefore, I wanted, together with you, to try and ruin a song we all sing. That's my first initiative this morning, to ruin the song for you. And my second initiative is to try to say what I believe is correct based on Rav Amital's teachings. There is a song out there that goes like this: HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anachnu Ohavim Otcha. God, we love you. What do you think of that song? You all know the tune. It starts with very deep words from our davening. We're going to say it on Shabbos, and every one of the Amidas of Shabbos. We're going to say it on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and every one of the Amidas. It starts with the words, V'taher Libeinu La'ovdecha Be'emet. Purify our hearts to worship you truthfully. And a minute later it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anachnu Ohavim Otcha. God, we love you. What do you think?
God, we're your children. We choose you. We love you. Love us.
Simple. God, you're our Father in heaven. We're your children. You love us. We love you. First of all, I don't know of any family in the world that has children where it's so simple. Oh, you know, you're my father, I'm your son, I love you, you love me, yeah? Let's eat dinner. I mean, that's it. I believe that in every relationship, husband-wife, parents-children, it requires a lot of investment and work and toil and nourishing.
The investment part. There's a lot of money.
In order for you to go ahead and say, I love my children love me, to nurture a relationship. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anachnu Ohavim Otcha, simple, easy, Charlie, eat a cookie, drink a glass of water, say you love God, move on. We're coming into days in which we are going to be trying to nurture that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, simply because we're going to be spending more time talking to God. We're going to be adding slichos to our regular service. So instead of Shacharis Mincha Maariv, we're going to have slichos in addition to that. We're going to be spending more and more hours in shul in the next few weeks. And therefore, I think it's very important to define what it means to have a relationship with God. Because if you look at the beginning of the book, where we're holding in our hands, page 13, you'll see that Rav Amital makes a very clear distinction between being religious and having Yirat Shamayim, having awe of heaven. Datiyut, or religion, means that you're doing something religious. Give me an example of something religious.
Putting on tefillin.
Putting on tefillin is a religious act. What else?
Keeping kosher
is a religious act.
Davening
is a religious act. However, will you define every single person that shakes a lulav and hears the shofar as a person that is stemmed and rooted in Yirat Shamayim, in awe of heaven? Has a very clear relationship with the one above? Or let me put it another way, the Rav Amital doesn't say it, I'll say it in my words. Is every person that's shaking a lulav spiritual? Not necessarily. And this is for the very following reasons. And therefore, when I started this series, I said to you that I'm not going to try, God forbid, to bring you things that are up there in heaven, very, very spiritual, that's very hard to understand. Rav Amital was a very practical man. And practically, when you talk about a relationship, it could be husband, wife, parents, children, worker, co-worker, it involves two distinct things. Number one, investment. Bruce, you like that. I don't know if you and I meant the same thing. I didn't mean money. It involves investment. If you look on page one, you'll see Rav Amital quotes the pasuk of Mishlei. Im tevakshena kakesef v'chamatmonim techapsena. If you look for it like money, like gold, like silver, they tell you there's a gold under your house, you're going to dig up the house to try to find that gold so you can become rich. Az, then, tavin yirat Hashem v'dat Elokim timtza. What do you learn from that? If you dig and dig and dig, or in my words, if you invest, then you'll find Yirat Shamayim. The Gemara says, in Meseches Brachos, Rav Amital goes on, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet, page 32b, Amar Rav Chanina, Kol B'Yedei Shamayim, Chutz Mi Yirat Shamayim. Everything's in the hands of heaven. God can decide if you're rich or you're poor. God's going to decide if you're going to be successful in business this year or not. God's going to decide these things. Rosh Hashanah's coming up. There's one thing God doesn't decide, says the Gemara. You know what that is? If you have the awe of heaven or not. Shenemar, quoting a pasuk, Va'atah Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mi'imach, Ki'im Li'ira. God says, I only ask one thing of you, because everything else determined in heaven. One thing I ask of you, Yirat Shamayim. So the Gemara says, Atu Yirat Shamayim Milta Zutra Tehi. God says, all I ask of you is Yirat Shamayim. What, that's so small? Va'amar Rav Chanina Mishum Rav Shimon Ben Yochai. The only treasure that God has in his treasure chest is Yirat Shamayim. So the Gemara says in a very nice way that the following, if you ask of me for a big pot, I'm a caterer, and you have a lot of guests for Rosh Hashanah, do you have a very huge big pot? Caterer has 20 big pots, he gives you one. So for him, it's not a big deal. For you to cook in a very, very big pot is a once-in-a-lifetime thing when you have 20 guests. Same thing here, says the Gemara. If you yourself are small, then indeed it's a big thing. Moshe Rabbeinu was so close to God, he could say, V'atai Yisrael, and now Jewish people, God just asked for Yirat Shamayim. So the first thing the Gemara is basically assuming is that Yirat Shamayim is not something that's so simple of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we love you, and that's it. Yirat Shamayim requires what?
Investment.
The Ramchal. Everyone here heard of the Ramchal? I take nothing for granted this year. That's it. The Ramchal, did he have a beard? No! So if you ever have a problem with someone saying, how come you don't have a beard, a good Jew has a beard? Say, Ramchal. The author of the Mesilat Yesharim, and they all shut up. Ramchal in his Hagdama. To Mesilat Yesharim, and I've already said to be a mensch, Mesilat Yesharim required reading. How do you say it in English? The ways of the just, I think it's called Mesilat Yesharim. He says the following. Hu mashar mashlomo, and he quotes the pasuk we quoted, that you have to look for it like gold and silver. Eino omer astavin philosophia, astavin tfuchuna, astavin refuah, astavin dinim, astavin halachot. Ela astavin yirat Hashem harelecha, shelahavin hayirat zarich levakesh ota kekesef, ulechapes ota kematmonim. He basically says very simply, like we said earlier, that in order for Yirat Shamayim to be something that's part and parcel of who you are, to feel like the Shulchan Aruch opens up his Shulchan Aruch, Shiviti Hashem, Lenegdi, Tamid, that God is before me all the time, you have to look for it. You have to invest in it. It's not enough to say, oh, I'm hearing the shofar, I'm rich spiritual. That doesn't make you spiritual. Oh, you know, I'm in shul, I'm doing the motions. How many people do you know go through the motions without the emotions? How many people? I've heard that from Daniel Cohn in Stanford, so I'll say it in his name. I know many people like that. They do what they're supposed to do. But I can't say they're stemmed in Yirat Shamayim, because spirituality versus a religious act are not the same thing. Of course, they're connected, but they're not necessarily the same thing. I'll just add that Rav Soloveitchik, in many of his writings, made a very clear distinction between the ma'aseh mitzvah, the act of the mitzvah, and the kiyum ha-mitzvah, the influence of the mitzvah. Sometimes it's tangible. When a person has a bris milah, the actual act of cutting of the bris is the ma'aseh mitzvah. What's the kiyum ha-mitzvah? That Jew is no longer called an arel. What's he called? A ben brit. When you put on tefillin in the morning, you also make two brachas like in a bris. The first bracha is the act of putting on tefillin, on the ech tefillin. Svarim don't make the second bracha. But the fact that bichlal the Rishonim deal with it means that when you wear tefillin, something changes in you. We read last week in the Parsha, and the Gemara Darshan says, Elu tefillin shebarosh, that when you wear tefillin, all the nations of the world are going to see this is something different. Now, you can do those things and feel nothing. Or you can do those things and all of a sudden something changes in you. But in order for that to happen, you need to invest. Yes?
You know, if you gave your wife flowers on the Erev Shabbos and you didn't know she liked them or didn't, and you didn't care, you're giving them and you just picked them up and there's no thought. But you gave it. You did the act. I would think that she wouldn't think much of that. And then I'm learning from our halakha, doing the act separated from the understanding is totally okay. You could do an act and get complete credit, more or less, for doing an act. You mekayim the mitzvah, even though you may not have a clue or be tied any emotional, intellectual aspect, and yet that goes against this whole idea of what we're talking about.
Doesn't go against the idea.
Well, because you want to be imbued with some religious...
Well, again, I'm saying again, let's make a distinction. So that's what I'm trying to explain. Let's make a distinction between an act of religion and feeling spiritual. A religious act is doing a mitzvah, and no one, or at least no Orthodox rabbi, will ever say that that's meaningless. Chas v'shalom. We have to do what we have to do, whether we feel it or not. You have to daven mincha, whether you feel like it or not. You have to put on tefillin, whether you feel like it or not. Of course you get credit for that. But is that in and of itself a spiritual act?
No,
not necessarily.
But the halacha doesn't require that.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say, that the halacha does require that. That Rav Soloveitchik went out of his way to show that there's a not just a kiyum mitzvah, but it's actually imbued in the halacha. That it's not enough just to do this or that, but rather you have to feel something afterwards. Now, am I mizelzel? Am I saying if you don't feel it, it's nothing? Of course not. It's 50% at least. And maybe by doing it more and more and learning about it, you'll get to it. But what I'm trying to at least bring to your recognition is that not every religious act is in and of itself a spiritual one. And not every spiritual act is a religious act. How many people do you know are spiritual, but not even Jewish? So therefore, it's very important to make that distinction. Yes?
The early fight between Hasidim and Mitnagdim was around this point. What is the Ikar learning or davening? Which I think could be translated, what is the Ikar, the mitzvah, or the spirituality? And, you know, some of the Hasidic circles, like, for instance, Breslov, you know, they get out of their cars and start dancing in the middle of the street.
I won't comment.
I mean, you know,
I won't comment. I won't comment for a reason that's totally not to do with this shir, but I'll just say in parentheses that when you wear a kippah on your head, in my opinion, you have a responsibility. You are representing the Jewish people. And to act like a vildachaya in the middle of a red light, in my opinion, is the opposite of taking any sort of responsibility on the Jewish people. It's as irresponsible as drinking too much,
yeah,
and walking in the streets and having cars stop short not to bump into you.
That would be a bad example, Breslov. And Breslov focuses on...
No, but there's other examples. You're right, Rabbi Lewis. Rabbi Lewis is correct that when the Hasidic movement began, it started to talk about more the influence of the mitzvah versus the mitzvah itself. But I can't say that the Litvakin said, only do the mitzvah and feel nothing, and the Hasidim say, feel a lot and forget about the mitzvahs.
Yeah.
Obviously, each one, yeah, as time went on, it morphed. The Hasidim at the beginning did, I would say, tarnish certain things, such as manei tefillah, davening on time.
Right.
But as time went on, you would say, you can't say about the Hasidic movement today, they don't keep halacha. You'd say their dominant feature, Breslov's dominant feature, is simcha. What, simcha is not part of anyone else's religion? We read it in last week's parsha. What is the klalot? God says explicitly, why did you get the klalot? Tachat, shelo avadat Hashem Elokecha b'simcha v'tuv levav. From here you medayek, you're supposed to be b'simcha v'tuv levav. So, what, it's only by Breslov? No, that's their dominant feature. Just like the Chafetz Chaim, did he make up a law called Lashon Hara?
No.
But who's the dominant figure? When you say the word Lashon Hara, and you're looking for synonyms, who would be the synonym to Lashon Hara? Chafetz Chaim, Unetana Tokef. Anyone here, I hope that by 2014 everybody here knows that the famous story written in every machzer about Unetana Tokef, if it happened or didn't happen, is regardless. The following is true. A, Unetana Tokef is much more ancient than the 11th, 12th century. And B, whether you say that or not, who's the dominant figure that's a synonym to Unetana Tokef? What was his name? Ramam Nami Magensa. So there's no question that you're right. But here around this table, we're trying to at least try to become steadfast Jews, to be what I called, and I know I coined the phrase, a Jew. What do we call this series?
Mensch.
What's after the
Mensch? It's a Jewish Mensch.
Being a Mensch?
The God-fearing Mensch. Yeah. We're God-fearing and we're Mensches. We're Jews, we're religious, and we're Mensches at the same time. We're trying to do it. And therefore, I say the first and foremost thing we have to remember is that not every religious act is a spiritual one necessarily, and you're not necessarily doing it out of Yiras Shamayim. How many Jews do you know daven three times a day? Because it's on their schedule. It's not, oh, I have awe of heaven, I need to speak to God. But rather it's, you know, mincha time. You know, how many Jews Friday night take the cup of wine, say the words, eat the meal, because that's what they do Friday night. Not because I feel spiritually, this is what I need to do, it's Friday night. Shabbos, we need to mekadesh and sanctify the day. Not everyone feels that way. One second, please. Yes, Glazer.
I would like to suggest, a little follow-up what Bruce is saying, that the spiritual is latent. It is there.
A cup of water,
please. The example I would give is a husband and wife. When you help your wife prepare for Shabbos or clean, or maybe after Shabbos do the dishes, or you help your wife get the kids ready for school, whatever it is, you're involved. But every time you're doing this, you're not saying, oh, what a wonderful devekus I have with my wife because I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm. No,
but when the anniversary comes around...
Obviously.
You know,
obviously. You're saying it very nicely.
Then what you're really doing, you're reconnecting with what you're doing all year long. Anyway.
I think your example, your analogy is right on. I couldn't have said it better. How can you celebrate an anniversary if you don't have a relationship all year? But in order to have that relationship, you need to invest all year. So you said correctly. Correct. I'm not saying. So that's what I was trying to say. Let's be practical and say that it's impossible every time you daven mincha to feel, oh, I'm spiritual. But therefore, let's not elude ourselves to think that that's true and say, oh, I'm a spiritual person. I daven mincha today. That's not always true. The second thing and the last point I wanted to make is Yirat Shamayim says, Rav Amital, has to also require not just investment, but you got to think about it. It has to be on your agenda. It has to be on your table. Or as Rav Amital says here, Yirat Shamayim Doreshet Chochma Ve'iyun. Yirat Shamayim, awe of heaven, is not something that comes by osmosis. It requires you to think about it. He quotes the Ramchal again, that says, indeed, Sha'arei Yirahi Chochma Vihi Levada Chochma, Vadai She'eno Nikra Chochma Ma She'en Bo Iyun. If you don't invest time of thinking about it, it won't be there. And Rav Kook goes a step further and says that if we go ahead and stam say Yirei Shamayim, we're God-fearing Jews, and we don't think about it, Sha'askala Elohit Hiktana, as a tziyur shemitzayrim et ha'elohut, u'gamkin katan. When you don't think about it, then what's your vision of heaven? What's your vision of God? Like they taught you in elementary school, right? Hashem's our Father in heaven, or Hashem's this scary monster, whatever your kindergarten teacher poskimed, whatever she said. And the bottom line is, that's your vision, from kindergarten all the way through manhood. But if you invest thinking about it, time and effort into thinking about it, then your whole concept of what God does becomes more complex. Like when you read Sefer Devarim, if you're reading it on a very, very simple level, then it's very simple, right? If you do a mitzvah, you get rewarded. You do an Aveira, you get punished. Simple! You know, reward and punishment, got it! Oh, very nice. How many people do you know stemmed in mitzvot got killed by terrorists? How many? How many people do you know spat on Shabbos, ate chazir on Yom Kippur, and they're living it up in a mansion? So what, all because it's so simple? If you don't even think about it, that simple answer of reward and punishment, if you don't think about it, you don't give a lecture about it, you don't bring it up at a Shabbos table, then it's going to remain primitive. And your whole knowledge of God is going to remain primitive. It's going to remain in kindergarten. Because that's the first time you heard the word Hashem. And whatever you heard Hashem there is your Hashem when you're 50 years old too. And that's a huge mistake. So if you want to talk about Yirat Shamayim, A, it is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anachnu Ahavim Otcha, we love you. First of all, not everyone loves God. Second of all, I'm pretty sure that when there were hard times, you didn't exactly get up in the morning and say, but I still love God. And it's not simple to say everything God does is for the best. And any relationship is not simple. And therefore, we said it requires two things. A, it requires investment. And B, it requires knowledge. It requires investment of time. And it requires you to think about it. And don't leave it at the level of the primitive kindergarten teacher. Because if that's where you're going to leave it, who would want to be a big part of your religion? You know, your kid says to your teenager, why do I have to go ahead and go to shul on Rosh Hashanah? And you'll say, well, you know, well, if you don't, Hashem's going to punish you. A teenager today is pretty smart. Oh, really? I don't know. Last Shabbos I didn't go to shul, I slept late. I'm all right. 2 weeks ago, my friend on Shabbos took out his motorcycle, drove to Tel Aviv, went to the beach, came home. He's all right so far. What do you mean? Oh, well, you know, you got to do it because, you know, he'll get you eventually. He'll get me when? If that's your primitive knowledge of Yirat Shamayim, then I'm not surprised that that poor boy will come to shul. But if you talk about a relationship for God, with God on a very, on a level that's not primitive, but appropriate for your age, then all of a sudden it becomes a different conversation. So it requires investment of time, and it requires you to think about it. And don't illude yourselves that every religious act is a spiritual one. It is not. And as we said correctly, not every time I daven mincha I feel spiritual. And on the other hand, not every time I feel spiritual am I necessarily doing a mitzvah. Sometimes I'm at a wedding, and I'm blasted away by the music, and I'm dancing, and I'm up there, and I'm closing my eyes. I don't know if I'm doing a mitzvah. It could be the chassan and the kala went into a room, and we're stomp dancing alone. But I feel very spiritual. So let's be very, very careful as we go into these days to recall and remember that we have a lot to work on. You don't leave it at the kindergarten teacher level. Invest the time and think about it. Yes, Rabbi Lewis.
Interesting story about conception of God. It's told from a kindergarten teacher in a reform school in Cleveland that she was telling the kids about the Gerush Gan Eden. And after telling them about the story, she had the kindergarten kids draw a picture of their concept of Gerush Gan Eden. And one of the kids drew a picture of a guy with a long beard sitting in the front seat of a car and two people in the back seat of the car. And this teacher asked, you know, would you explain what this is? Oh, that's God in the front seat driving Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. So,
I'm not so bothered by that.
Conception of,
no, I'm not so bothered by that because they made it, I think the kindergarten teacher made it tangible for them.
Right.
It's not a man.
But what I'm trying to say is, let's not leave it. So I want to wish everyone a Shana Tova, Ktiva v'chatima tova lanu l'chol Yisrael. We should have a wonderful good year and a year in which we invest time and effort and to think about what Yirat Shamayim means for me. It would be great if after Simchas Torah, I get from each and every one of you a small paragraph. For me, all of heaven means. After you go through this experience, put it down on a piece of paper. Let's see. I'm not saying homework, optional. I'd say it would be wonderful to get all of heaven, Yirat Shamayim, in my life is. And continue the sentence.